Speaking of kids, Caden Primo. It's his first win in the NHL last night. It was kind of an interesting story in that. And well, we'll bring Ren Lavoie, our NHL insider, with TVS Sports. And now, Ren, I'm led to believe that as is tradition, the goalie gets the puck from his first win. But
yeah.
Is it true that Brady Tkachuk tried to steal the puck and that Carey Price actually had to get it from him?
Yeah, it's exactly what happened. And Brady today had to explain himself. First of all, they know each other pretty well because Brady and obviously Caden played together for the USA program.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I didn't realize that it was his first win in the NHL, which is probably
BS.
Not true.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's, you know what? I think it's a sidebar to what happened last night because Primo was really, really good. But at the same time, Brady Tkachuk was really good in that game too. Mm. And Brady Tkachuk is probably right now my favorite player. He's got the way he's playing. It's old school. We're back in the 80s and 90s with him. It's marvelous to see him play. He's getting under the skin of obviously everybody, even his old pal, Caden Primo. And he find a way. He just find a way to say, you know what, you beat me tonight. And we're not going to finish this one easily. You know, I don't think it's a major topic. It wasn't after the game, to be honest with you. It's just the fact that Carey had to get the puck. And obviously, every time something happens like that, the player is saying, I just wanted to give the puck to a kid. I've heard that before. It's always the same story. But he knew exactly what he was doing. So, you know, it's gamesmanship. I like it. And that's why the game sometimes is fun, because even if we heard the last buzzer, sometimes it never ends, and it's I'm okay with that.
Hey, Ren, tell us a bit about Caden Primo, because you know what, this is it was a seventh round pick in 2017. Yep. And well, you've talked about this. You know, we've seen goalies go late in the draft, in the middle of the draft, and have go on to have terrific NHL careers.
Yeah. Yeah. And the problem that there's a lot of people who are asking, how is it possible that a guy like him was the best goalie at the World Championship last year, the World Junior?
Mm-hmm.
How is it possible that that kid was picked in the seventh round? And my understanding is quite simple. His goalie coach was not on his side. And every time that teams were doing interviews with his goalie coach at the time, what came out was not really positive. And that's why he slid. At draft, which is, and I remember being at that draft when he was picked in the seventh round. I said to myself, the Canadians are doing Keith Primo a favor here, because obviously is Caden's dad is Keith.
Right.
And I said, well, you know, it's worse in seventh round. Those picks are not really important. Probably that kid will never play. The first thing you know, he's the best goalie in the world at 18 years old or 19 years old. And now he's Carey Price backup, which is just great. It's a great story. The Canadians really, really liked him. One of the reasons why is if you look at his contract, the way this contract is built, he's got some bonuses for games played this season.
Mm-hmm.
This season only. It's his first year as a pro. So if he plays like five games, it's $20,000 bonus. Same thing if he played 10, 20, 30. So you know the story. It's they're giving him a lot of money if he's playing games this season.
Right.
Not next season, this season. So I think they had a plan. The plan was for him to play at one point with the team, and it's exactly what's going on right now.
Ren, Jeff and I have not really talked much about the Edmonton Oilers this year, and I wanted to just get your your sort of outlook on them? They're fourth in the Western Conference. Obviously, yeah. McDavid and Draisaitl have had incredible years. And, you know, at a certain point, you know, you stick around like fourth, fifth in the conference, and it's not a fluke anymore. I don't know if we're at that point yet, but we got to be getting close. 33 games in, and the Oil is sitting in fourth place in the West.
And you know what, Richard, to be honest with you, what's going on this year, I thought at the time that it will be like that last season, honestly. I remember talking to Peter Chiarelli, not this summer, but the summer before, and he told me, you know what happened last year, so that was two seasons ago. He said it was a slap in the face for our franchise. And I think the players felt it. They knew that they're way better than that. And Peter expected a big season. So that was last season. And it didn't turn out that way. Obviously, it was ugly. And it's tough to understand sometimes why things are changing so quickly from one season to another. Obviously, there was a lot of changes when you look at the way this team is managed right now, a new coach. So it's a new vision, experienced coach, again, that players really like. So, you know, I know there was a lot of people who were pointing fingers at Peter Chiarelli, and that's, in my mind, a big mistake. One of the reasons why this team is playing really well right now, it's because of what happened to in the last few years. It's not true that management changed it. They change things, but not that much. Mm-hmm. It's the same group. They still have two of the best players in the game, with Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. So, you're gonna win more games that you're supposed to when you have a lot of talent. They're working hard. The goalies are making the saves, which is, I believe, if you want to look at one thing, probably it's goaltending. Mm. Mike Smith is. Even if he's not perfect, he's a veteran goalie, and he's making sure that all the players are, you know, they're comfortable on the ice. So, and I'm going to repeat myself. He's not perfect, but as a veteran, he wants to win. He knows how to win. So that's bringing a lot of value, I guess, to that franchise.
Ren, what happened to Pete DeBoer in San Jose?
Should have been fired a month and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be honest here. I remember the game in Montreal that they played, okay? And was probably Joe Thornton's last game in Montreal. And I knew at the time they were really struggling. And I said to everybody, when Thornton is playing in Montreal, he's like Wayne Gretzky. And it's exactly what happened. They beat easily the Montreal Canadiens that night. I say easily, maybe it wasn't that easy, but Joe Thornton was the best player again on the ice. And the problem is there's so much ups and downs with that franchise. I remember Eric Carlson that game was playing really good.
Mm-hmm.
Probably his best game of the year. But after that, again his game wasn't, at par. So, I really do believe that even if they had a really good run in the playoffs last year, when you're not starting the right way, the group is sending a signal. And the group was sending the signal to Doug Wilson that it was time to make a move. And I remember talking to Doug in Montreal when he came in. He was in Brossard to see the Montreal Canadiens practice facility because the Sharks are going to build a new one. I was with Louis Jean, and we asked him, when is it time to, you know, make a move or push the panic button? And he said, you know what, my job is to see the big picture. Well, the big picture at the time wasn't a beautiful picture. I mean, it was a really ugly situation for that group. They won that game in Montreal, as I mentioned, but what happened during the weekend, two losses. One big loss versus Tampa, and the next day versus the Panthers. It was time. It was time to make a move, and I like the fact that they're not only changing, you know, the head coach, but some of the assistant coach, the goalie coach.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to have a new voice and new voices. And So I believe the Sharks are going to make the playoffs. This is a playoff team. They're going to be dangerous. And I believe it was the right move to make.
Ren, we saw the commissioner put an end to the 2021 World Cup, and now we await to see what is going to happen with the 2022 Olympic Games. And that's always fraught with a lot of doubt when it comes to the NHL at the moment. How did you read the end of the 2021 World Cup, and does it mean anything for the Olympics?
That's a great question, Richard. Again, does it mean something for the Olympics? My answer right now will be no, okay, because there's no appetite for it. The league, the owners, some of them want to see their players at the Olympics. I know in Montreal, Jeff Molson is I'm not going to say he's pushing hard, but he's an owner here that understand the players and understand the fact that they want to go. So he never mentioned that it's time to get rid of that possibility. He's got an open mind about it. Now you have to see if it's going to be part of a bigger deal with the players, okay? And that's the way, I guess, you have to see it. You have to think that that's a card that at one point Gary Bettman wants to play, maybe a throw-in, because for the players right now, what's really important is the escrow. As everybody knows, they want to not get rid of the escrow, but make sure that they're not going to pay another 13% like it is this season, like that every year. It's a headache. And so that's priority number one. When you look at the Olympics, it's not all the players that are going to play at the Olympics or represent their country at the World Cup. If it's the league choice, it's going to be the World Cup only. If it's more on the PA side, it's going to be the World Cup and the Olympics. I think they should find a solution to that. I remember in the 90s when the Olympics arrived, everybody was happy about it. The league was happy about it. Gary Bettman was pushing hard for the Olympics. And I understand why right now they're saying, hey, to the IOC, we want something in return, and totally understandable. And I'm with the league on that point. But on the player side, to represent your country, it's unique. You're going to remember it for the rest of your life. Not every player has the chance to win a Stanley Cup, but if you can't say, I played for my country at the Olympics, this is unique. This is really unique. But one thing, guys, and I don't know if you're on my side with what I'm going to say. It's okay if you don't agree. But hockey, I prefer the World Cup and the hockey that's being played at the Olympics. But I understand the fact that it's unique to represent your country at the Olympics compared to a World Cup. I totally understand that.
Yeah, my argument about this has always been, I mean, I'm with you. First of all, I think the hockey at the Olympics is not always very good hockey. There's an awful lot of 1-0, 2-0 games. I mean, there's a whole lot of Latvia going on in the Olympics. So, I get why players like it, but I would much rather have a legitimate World Cup. I think it's better for the game. I think it presents better growth opportunities. If it's marketed right, it can make more money for everybody.
Yep.
And I think the way the game is played now, there's enough really good players in the NHL that you can have a tournament like that.
Yep.
And it's easy to sell. And you know what? And Ren, what I also like about it is you're not married to where the Olympics are. So maybe we can have a Europe pool and a North America pool, and then the winners meet in, I don't know, meet in Berlin for a championship game. We don't have to worry about the fact it's in Korea or China or wherever. We can put it in countries where it's going to make a difference.
Exactly. And even if I really like the fact that the last World Cup was in Toronto, okay, one location, I think you need to spread it out a little bit more. You need some games in Montreal. You need some games at Edmonton. You need some games in Vancouver. And you mentioned it. You need some games in Berlin or Prague or where. The game, you need to grow the game.
Yep.
And that's not only every 4 years, it's every day. But by doing a real workup, and why not a final in Paris at one point, everybody is going to enjoy it, and it's going to make probably France a country that's going to appreciate the NHL a little bit more than it is right now. It's only about soccer,
right,
or football, I should say. So bring the sports in Europe a little bit more. Asia, I think, is a great place to grow the game too, but it's more complicated, as everybody knows.
Right, and I think you can grow the game in Asia by having NHL teams play games in Asia. I think you make a bigger impact doing that than simply hooking it on to the Olympics. And the other thing is you can control the product, then you control the arena,
exactly,
you control the timing. To me, it's a no-brainer. Ren, we appreciate you doing this. Thank you so much, as always. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Yeah, you too. Enjoy your weekend, and we're going to talk next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ren. Take care. That's Ren Lavoie. He's our NHL insider with TVS Sports.